This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a toasty 1 million degrees in the studio.
Ahoy!
As both Suk and I and our big, hot, broad bodies are going to make this room a sauna if we don't do something about it.
Just means that more buttons are going to get undone. That's all that's going to happen. Going to get a lot of my chest out.
Yes. I feel great in here.
Well, that's because you're smaller and by yourself in a bigger room.
Yeah. When my brother comes in here, the heat level, it rises like 11 degrees.
He's sweating instantly from when he walks in here.
I feel bad for him because he just is in a constant state of being moist. You're not as bad as him, but yes, the two of us in here together, it's not 11 degrees, but I'm going to say it's a good 7 or 8 degree raise. Like when you're around big people, there's just, we're like wearing wetsuits. It's like a couple of walruses around and it generates a lot of heat. It's like one of those turbo ovens. It's convection cooking, just kind of swirls the heat around.
It's just one of those things where for whatever reason, the air in this building isn't working very well generally. And in these studios in particular, yeah. I feel like there's negative airflow.
It's got to be the studios because, like, I just walked through the hallway and it's great out there.
I know.
It's the studio.
If you look at the thermostat behind you, it's set to as cold as humanly possible, and it's not that.
The thermostat means nothing.
And there's no air flowing in here. It's stagnant and humid and moist and sweaty and disgusting.
Well, it's why we just now we've taken to just opening the door.
Yeah.
And that was normally not a big deal because there was no one in the building. So you could just have the door open. But now that people have returned, it's a little awkward because people come walking by and they're like, hey, what's going on? Well, we're doing a show and the light is off.
Yeah, the light's not working.
There used to be a light out there when you were on the air. It would be a big red light. But now that the door is open and there's no light on, it's only a matter of time before like some small child wanders in for whatever reason. And you're like, oh,
Daddy, what that bad man say?
Yeah, sorry about that.
The most terrifying thing that happened to me was when we had the doors open was, I forget who it was. Somebody was in the building for another station and they had their dog with them. And the dog wasn't on a leash and the dog was just walking around. And I'm sitting where Patrick is sitting right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at you guys. Like, I think my mic is on. I don't remember exactly what the situation was. And I felt something cold and moist on the back of my leg, sitting on the chair.
Right, and cold and moist.
I'm alone in that studio. Yeah. It's like 6:15 p.m. There shouldn't be anybody in the building. And I must have screamed like, what the bleep? And swiveled as fast as I could. And there was just a dog looking up at me.
Yeah.
And I felt so idiotic for being petrified of a dog. But it was also the thought of, I thought I was alone in this room and all of a sudden something just licked my calf.
Yeah. The animal surprise, there's really no, like, you can try to pretend like you're going to be all cool. When something surprises you, especially like an animal, or it's, you know, someone comes around the corner, it's like, boo. Like, you just, it's a startle. Ah. But the animal one, or when you think you're alone, when we're on vacation, when I was in Bali, I passed out in a hammock.
Passing out? Hammock? Vacation? Yeah. Drunk? What?
I was on a hammock, and so I slept in the hammock, and I woke up. You know, and you kind of do that, like, you wake up, and the sun's kind of shining in, and you're laying there. So, like, everyone else was like, in rooms. So I'm sleeping. It was, like, in the kitchen. It was, like, a big outdoor kitchen. And then just there was a hammock kind of strung across it. And so I was sleeping in that, and I woke up, and right on the table next to me was a rooster. And it scared you're just not prepared.
No.
You're not ready for like the stupor, like wake up. You're like, oh, hey, open your eyes and have it just right staring at you. And then like the panic set in because I was like, oh.
Did you do like a swing?
Well, like I just.
Did
I,
you
like,
punch the rooster in the face?
No, but I got startled. And when I got startled, the rooster kind of started doing the. Like the head bob and like the wings started flapping and then like I panicked and you're in a hammock and you just woke up and so then I'm flailing and I was going to get murdered by a rooster. I was convinced. And then I fell out of the hammock. It was a whole thing.
It's very emasculating.
Me versus rooster. That rooster dominated me. I folded like a pair of twos and then he like went off in disgust probably because I was laying face down on a kitchen floor at like 6:30 in the morning. You're just not prepared. You're not prepared. It's the same thing. Like if you have dogs, that happens to me sometimes because like one or two of the dogs are usually sleeping in bed. The big one doesn't, but the other two, there's at least one, the smaller one.
Have you been trying to train the big one to not sleep in the bed?
He can't. He's too big. It's just you just it doesn't work.
Well, I don't know if he can't. He could shove one of you off the bed.
No, that's like having another. He's too damn big. It's enormous. Like sleeping with a bear. So he can't do it. But the little guy, the old English bulldog, he sleeps in bed 100% of the time. And then the other bulldog, it's like 50. But like you'll wake up sometimes, you roll over and he just is in your snoot. Like face to face. And you just, and you know he's there. He sleeps there. He's been there for like 7 years. You're just not prepared for when your eyes open. There should not be another animal staring at you.
I think this actually, at least for me, I'm assuming for some people out there, it kind of extrapolates out to even more like things that make you feel terrible about being scared. Have you ever had it where you, I don't even have pets right now.
Yeah.
And I will turn a corner and there's a shadow from something on a table and it's reflecting on the ground. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a big shadow and I have this like panic thought of like, what is in my apartment? And then I turn and it is nothing. That happens to me too.
The most shameful
thing.
It's
not that I live on edge. It's just that little like, ah, yeah. What is this?
If you want the most shameful thing, it's walk through a spider web. You can't. Like, I don't care who you are. Walk through a spider web and have it touch your face and instantly you turn into a 4-year-old girl.
You're terrified. Because you don't know where it is. Nope. You don't know if there was a spider on it. You don't know if it's on you. You don't know where the web is.
And immediately you make this sound. Ah! And then your hands flail. And it's just, and then you like kind of spin because you're mashing the circle button. You're playing Madden. You start spinning for some unknown reason. And there's no way. You can give me the toughest guy in the world. Walk through a spider web and instantly you're just reduced to just a sniveling mess. And once I walked through a spider web and I was freaked out about it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then you're doing that. And I had the big beard at the time and there was a spider in my beard. My whole day was I remember like I was walking away from it and I was like, oh, whatever. And then like I kind of felt something and I was like, what? And then I kind of glanced down and you could see it. It had crawled up from my beard and was now working its way to my cheek where I could kind of see it like down in the periph. I've never freaked out that much. And even I had to go boil my face in water.
Yep.
My whole day was ruined because the rest of the day I was convinced there was still another spider in my beard. Well, couldn't handle it.
That happened to me too. Not beard, but I don't know when it happened. I remember this was like, 6 months ago. I remember step by step what I did. I was taking the garbage out. And my apartment complex has this thing called valet living where like you just drop the garbage outside and they pick it up a couple of times a week.
Must be nice. Once again, Mike going to Ox, eating fancy apples and now valet garbage.
The back panel of the interior of my pickup truck fell off today while driving in the parking lot. And I went, man, I wish I was Mike Lynch.
Me too. Murano Live just he casually is like, hey, valet garbage service.
It's not 2005 Ford Ranger Life, I'm telling you that.
If it makes a difference, there was no choice. That was the only garbage service they have.
All right, valet garbage.
I put the garbage outside. I went inside. I then went to get the other garbage bag to put into the garbage can. And then I brought two upstairs because I had taken out like my bathroom garbage. I walked into my bathroom, up the stairs, into the bathroom, and I put the garbage in. And the second I put the can back down, I felt the crawling on the back of my head.
Yeah.
And sometimes, it's like a tickle.
Sure.
And you think like, it's nothing. But you instinctively put your hand back there out of fear that it's a bug.
Yeah.
I put my hand back there, closed it, took it to the front of my face, opened it, and it was a palm-sized spider in my hand that I then immediately karate chopped smacked onto the toilet seat and killed it.
Your whole day is ruined.
I felt like I had spiders in my hair for a week after that.
Your whole day is ruined. You might as well just go back to bed and start it over. Just call into work and be like, it's not happened today, guys. I'm done. You can't recover from a spider in your beard or hair. You can't.
But the worst thought of it was my guess was that the spider was hanging off like my front door. And when I walked outside and back in quickly, it like latched on, which meant that there was a spider in my hair for at least another minute and a half without me feeling it.
Probably still there.
Before I grabbed it in the bathroom and smashed it.
I'm convinced that it's laid eggs. You have spider hair. Once it's there, you can never be certain that it's truly gone.
The only thing that has ever worked for me is a shower will help a little bit. Like you really shampoo your hair out and you're like, clearly anything that's in there would be gone by now.
I would just buzz my head and be like, no,
but you're also bald.
So. Going bald. Even if I had hair, I'm like, nope, it's done. There's only one way I can be sure. Burn the forest down.
It's amazing how little things like that can get us get us all pooping in our pants.
Nothing you can do. I don't care how tough you are. Walk through a spider web, see what happens.
All right, coming up on the show today, we will talk some NBA playoffs, including a big trade that happened outside of the playoffs today.
Yeah, will people stop dealing with Sam Presti? Like, just don't answer his phone calls because it's not going to end well for you.
We've got Joey Harrington coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Apparently, it's hard to watch the U.S. Open. Not that I'm trying, but there's some interesting information about what they're doing that's difficult to follow. And maybe a little bit more on the college football playoff as the Pac-12 came out with a statement today based on the proposed 12-team plan. So that's all coming up on the show. Text us 503-250-1080. Coming up next, though, Bucks Nets going to Game 7. Game 6 yesterday almost went the way of Brooklyn, and then Giannis and the Bucks said, not so fast. We'll talk about that next. This is Primetime with Lynch and Suk today on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Text lines in with their own bug stories. JR says, I live in the sticks. Woke up a couple weeks ago to a tick crawling on my face. That was horrific.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't inserted into your face. Could you imagine the tick just like bites your cheek and there it is?
Is that like that larva fly or whatever, that like the horse fly?
Oh,
I don't know what a bot fly.
Bot
maybe?
Fly, I think. Yeah.
The videos of that, I can handle a lot of things, but the burrowing and being inside you, no, that's. I'm out.
I was laying in bed and saw a spider on my blanket and couldn't sleep after that. I felt like there was a spider still in my bed somewhere. That's also happened to me when I was younger.
You lose it.
Well, I was younger and my house was having like a mini infestation of like some sort of beetle. And I was laying in bed under the blanket watching TV and I felt something on my stomach. So I lifted the blanket and just like scratched at it. And this little like thin, narrow brown beetle just rolled off my stomach and I went, and you're like, what? I'm in the bed. The bed is my safe space. There should be nothing in my bed.
Get cable, mom. I'm up, not sleeping tonight.
It was horrific. So Yeah, keep sending those into the text line, 503-250-1080. This guy says, great, now I feel like I have spiders crawling over me. Yep,
you
me too.
You probably do.
We went to break and I felt a tickle on my back. It was just the tag of my shirt, but nope, in my brain. Spider. Massive spider.
Absolutely.
All right, the poll question today can be found on 1080thefan.com. It is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Go to AAAIAQ.com. Which player out of this list would you trust most in crunch time? I have intentionally left off the Nets stars, by the way, because that would be the easiest pick of all time.
Yeah.
Giannis, Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, or Trae Young. Go vote on 1080thefan.com. The reason I made this list and this the poll question, because I feel like all of those guys, there are question marks about, are they clutch end of game players? Mm-hmm. Some guys have had flashes of it. Some guys haven't. But that's like that's who's left in the playoffs, again, excluding Kevin Durant, who would win this in a landslide if you put him on here. Which player out of those would you trust most in crunch time? Because yesterday, Giannis stood up and took advantage of some really good crunch time minutes.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's crazy to me that we're having there's a two-time MVP and a defensive player of the year, same guy on this list. And yet I'm not certain that he would be the guy that you would pick.
No.
He can't shoot, and you can't trust him to get to the line, and he doesn't want to get to the line. So, I don't know. I think that one is a little iffy. You know, Embiid, who's a stud, but Embiid in the second half, what, two games ago, he went 0 for 12.
And I played amazing in the first half of the last game, and they lost. And they blew a 26-point lead.
You know, and I don't know if you've seen enough out of the others. You know, Paul George can be amazing when he wants to be, but
he's not particularly clutch.
No, and he's got a reputation. And by the way, that reputation is well earned. Honestly, at this point, it may be Trae Young. Like if you told me that I had 3 minutes left, right, and it's a tie game, I kind of want the ball in Trae Young's hands. I think he's the sort of guy that embraces that moment. I think Mitchell's probably that way, and he's playing right now, you know, at 60 or 70%. He's kind of out there gutting it out. I honestly think I would probably go with Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young. And both of those guys you would trust if they do end up on the free throw line. I just, the way Giannis, I mean, every free throw he shoots should be a violation. And how great was it watching James Harden get frustrated with them not calling it?
Well, he did like the arm flail, like, oh my God, yes. They're not calling it, because the Nets fans, although they were counting a little fast, they were out loud counting the seconds that Giannis was standing at the free throw line.
Yeah.
I think, at least in the clip I saw, because we were on the air when that happened live, they had counted to 13 or 14 when he shot it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a catcher that can't throw it back to the pitcher. So I don't know, as good as Giannis is, because when he wants to be, he can be unstoppable. But he is the most maddening player right now, because he can get it going downhill, and then seemingly for no reason, he stops and shoots turnarounds. I don't know what that is. Like, he just, is he bored with scoring whenever he wants? Outside of LeBron, I can't remember someone in the open court when they get going downhill that is that unguardable. Because when he gets ahead of steam and they're out running, what the hell do you do to stop him?
And he's nimble enough to get around a couple of defenders just to get himself into the lane. And his arms are so long.
And then he just stops and is like, nah, I'm going to shoot this 15-foot turnaround right here. And I don't know if it's just a matter of he's afraid of going to the line, and so sometimes he just decides that he doesn't want contact by going, but I don't know. Between him and Ben Simmons, it's the damnedest thing watching those two dudes shoot free throws and decide to not be aggressive. But when Giannis wants to be, if he could shoot free throws, if he just could shoot free throws, and then he wasn't afraid of that, but if he had any semblance of a jump shot, the guy would be unstoppable.
My answer to the poll question is Donovan Mitchell, just because he has the most nuclear kind of performances where he just gets insanely hot.
To me, he reminds me a little bit. He's got a Dwayne Wade thing about him.
Well, yeah. And Wade now partial owner of the Jazz and coaching him up a little bit. I could see that for sure. That's who I would pick in crunch time out of this list. I think that's kind of interesting when you look at who's left in the playoffs at this point. Because a lot of the other big boys have fallen, a lot of the other stars are out of the playoffs, it's a lot of guys who haven't fully made a name for themselves yet. You know, Mitchell, yeah, he's a great player. He's an all-star, but he's not a national guy. Devin Booker, same thing. Trae Young, same thing. And I think it's kind of interesting that we're going to be able to watch these last few games, the semifinals, and they get to the conference finals. And, you know, what if the Nets lose? You're going to have so many new guys that haven't been to this level all getting a chance to kind of make their stamp as I'm the next big clutch guy in the league.
Yeah, because, I mean, and I find that sometimes clutch is, this is one of those buzzwords that we use. It's like in interviews, it's like, who's going to step up?
Well,
right? Like, who's going to be clutch?
Generally true, but we also have Damian Lillard here in Portland who tends to hit every shot.
But this is my point. Lillard is well established, but, you know, so many of these times, like, you don't know what Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young or Devin Booker is going to do because they haven't been in this situation. So, like, I'm not, maybe a little bit apples to oranges here, but I Derek Jeter, right? Derek Jeter was about as clutch a player as you could be.
Yep.
And that pains me to say because I hate Derek Jeter and I think he's ridiculously overrated. But Derek Jeter came through when they needed him. Seemingly, it just was like every time. How many players would be Derek Jeter? Because he owns, like, you look at all the postseason records and he owns an S ton of them. But how many guys would have done that, been in the same opportunity? Derek Jeter rose to the occasion, but Derek Jeter was also in that position more than any other player because he played with the Yankees and was surrounded by great players and was there every single year. So,
well, wouldn't that argument on the side of Damian Lillard be different though? Because Lillard hasn't been there, quote unquote.
Lillard is just a freak. Honestly, Lillard is a freak. But for these other guys that we're talking about,
yeah,
I don't know because you haven't been there. And by the way, we truly don't know what Lillard would do in the world's biggest moments because he hasn't been there either. Now, he's done it so often in regular season and in the limited postseason success that he's had. We just assume that he'll rise to the occasion because the dude's a stone-cold killer. He just is. He's the best finisher in the NBA, and I don't think you can even make an argument with that. But the guys like Kevin Durant, again, have been put in that situation. But for, you know, I guess Paul George has been to two Eastern Conference Finals, but most of these guys on the list have never even sniffed necessarily the biggest moment. So then that asks the question, is doing this in the regular season or in the first round of the playoffs, is that the same as doing it in the conference finals? Is it the same as doing it in the NBA finals? Or does that change everything?
Yeah.
And the pressure rise and who knows?
Well, there's the poll question. Vote on 1080thefan.com. Scroll down a bit, go to the right side of the page and pick who you would choose as a player in crunch time out of this list of players. Go vote. 1080thefan.com brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Let's get into Giannis and the game six from yesterday with the Bucks and the Nets. Giannis did not attempt a three. Thank God. And he was dominant. Shocking. Yeah. First.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
3:33 here on your Friday. Lynch and Suki in on prime time today. Rops down at the U.S. Open. He's going to be back on Tuesday. Patrick Harris with us as well. We're not going to talk a lot of U.S. Open today because I don't care.
And that's plain and simple. I mean, you're being honest.
Fantastic every day.
You're going all Colt Beasley. You're just throwing it out there and be like, okay, this is what I believe. Screw you, golf.
I've done fill-in shows for the last 4 or 5 years now. And one thing I used to try to do was like research a lot of something that I didn't care about because I felt like we needed to talk about it.
Have you listened to this show for 17 years?
So it was in that. And when I say research a lot for something I thought we needed to talk about, it was always golf.
Yeah.
Because I know that maybe I'm misled because Isaac loves golf so much and talks about it constantly. I know there's a golf audience out here that likes the sport. But so I used to be like, let me like look up the players and how they're doing and maybe I'll watch this. And now I'm just like, look, I tried that. It was cute for a year or two. I don't care.
Dude, I tell people all the time that are just getting into this kind of line of work. I said, dude, talk about what you're interested in. Like, if yep. Obviously there's some things that, you know, you can't ignore, right? I mean, when the Super Bowl is coming around, you can't be like, hey, I don't really like football. But for the most part, talk about what you want to talk about. You mad? Like, he said, when the Timbers are rolling, this show isn't going to talk Timbers. People are like, why don't you talk Timbers? What would you like me to say? The little guy threw it over to the other little guy, and he kicked it past the smaller guy, and it was a goal, and everything went great.
Yep.
I couldn't talk Timbers if I wanted to. And if I did try to be like, well, I'm going to look up what happened, all it would sound like was some jackass who read an article about the Timbers and was like, go Timbers. You talk about what you know. You talk about what you're comfortable with, and you're talking about what you're interested
in. I'm over here like, man, the greens sure looked fast today.
It's like when Stephen A. Smith tries to talk. When Stephen A. Smith tries to talk about the NFL, to me, it's painful. Or boxing, for that matter. Or UFC. Stephen A. Smith is a pretty knowledgeable guy when it comes to the NBA. I will give him that. Like, that guy covered the NBA for a long time, and you can disagree or agree with his opinion, but at least Stephen A. knows the game of basketball and talks somewhat intelligently about it. But when that guy talks about, like, the fight game, oh my God. And football, sometimes it's even worse, where I just rub my temples and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But hey, it works for Stephen A. because that dude makes like $8 million a year.
That it does. That it does. All right, so Bucks beat the Nets yesterday, 104-89. There was a moment where I thought the Bucks were about to give it up. The Nets had got it within five.
Yeah.
I believe it was 82-77 or 83-78, something like that.
Yeah, because Milwaukee basically led wire to wire, and then you felt like maybe Brooklyn. And that's what happened in the Durant game, right? And you're like, well, maybe there's enough here, because Harden did look. He's still playing on one leg, but it's like one leg and like an eighth.
Yeah, like it's getting slightly better.
Yeah, he's like playing on Alex Smith's leg right now. He's playing on Derrick Henry's weird braid thing. And so he was somewhat effective. And so you thought maybe there was enough there. But, dude, give Milwaukee credit. And it wasn't just Giannis. Dude, Middleton was a beast.
Yeah, Middleton, I saw, was the first player in playoff history who went 38, 10 boards, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 5 3-pointers made.
We bury Middleton all the time because he is the second gun there. And people often ask, is he good enough to be a second guy? And he's disappeared in big moments. And, dude, that's a big one right there. I mean, that's an elimination game. That's win or go home. And Middleton was the best player in Milwaukee. In fact, you can make the argument that he was the best player on the floor last night. And that's saying something.
You can make the argument he's been the best player in the series for the Bucks.
Because you've got Giannis and then you got Kevin Durant, you know, and then look, I give him credit. Now, it doesn't matter if you go into game seven and he disappears like he's been prone to do, but I give him a lot of credit to him right now.
Giannis is such an interesting player, especially when I look at it in how the game went yesterday. He doesn't attempt a three.
No.
Thank God. He can't hit a three to save his life. He does go 6-10 from the free throw line, much better than normal.
Sure.
And he really just drove the lane and dominated and did what we all thought he could do. Giannis is a multiple-time MVP, defensive player of the year. Giannis is incredible, yet there's such a hole in his game that is so important in the NBA that it makes me wonder just how far he can get on his own being a superstar. Like, we've talked about how the Bucks were bringing guys in to try to build around Giannis. They brought in Drew Holiday. You know, they got PJ Tucker this year. You know, you're trying to bring guys in to build around Giannis. And I'm just curious, as great as he is, if you have a guy that just can't shoot, is he ever going to win a title with that skill set?
You can. If Milwaukee gets by Brooklyn, I would assume they're going to be the favorite against Philadelphia and against Atlanta. And then you're there. And it's not like any of the teams out west are juggernauts, especially with a lot of them dealing with health issues. I think Milwaukee can win. But yes, I do think that he is a unique guy. Although Westbrook has a little bit of this, and Westbrook's been an MVP, and he's a triple-double guy. We all want the perfect star.
But hasn't won.
He hasn't won, but he's been there. Him and Durant were both there and didn't win one, but they ran up against a pretty good team, if I remember. We all want the perfect star, right? We do. And that's who we hold people to these standards, especially when you're an MVP. But, you know, even when you're an MVP, Steve Nash was an MVP. You know, Russell Westbrook was an MVP. Giannis is a two-time MVP. There's been plenty of MVPs with holes in their game. Shaq, prime Shaq, was as dominant a player as I've ever seen in my life. This side of Michael. I think he's a different cat, even than LeBron.
Don't you tell that one texter who likes to say that Damian Lillard's better than Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Whoever texts that in, that is the dumbest take.
I had an orange this morning that was better than Mike's apple yesterday.
That's ridiculous.
How could you say that?
This cosmic apple. But Shaq was as dominant as anyone I've ever seen. He won three straight titles and won three straight finals MVPs. And Shaq had a huge hole in his game. But he was so good at what he did, you can live with it. There's very few complete players as good as LeBron is. LeBron doesn't have a great jumper. And sometimes he does the same thing that Giannis does. He falls in love with it. So, yes, you can win. And I'm not saying Giannis is the same. He's not the distributor and the ball handler that LeBron is.
But also, LeBron is a much better shooter than Giannis is.
Yes. But I'm saying LeBron, you know.
Yes, that was a hole in his game.
That was a hole in his game, and he's improved on it. And there's times where it drives you insane that LeBron shoots fall-away threes, and you're like, why? You're 265 pounds, 6'9". Get to the rim. So you can win with a hole in your game.
But again,
I just think with Giannis, it's because he's been so good in the regular season and we've seen him fail against seemingly not great teams. It's one thing, like if you're Durant and you're Westbrook and you run into a buzzsaw in the finals, right? Like when you're running into Golden State or you run into LeBron or you ran into those Spurs teams or the Lakers, Kobe teams, or when Stockton Malone were running into Jordan, we tend to give you some leeway. But if you look who Milwaukee is about out to, you're bowing out to Miami, mm-hmm. right? You're bowing out to Boston. You're not bowing out in the finals. And I think that's probably where the Giannis thing kind of comes in, where his game gets a lot of scrutiny.
Well, you said Shaq, and do you think Shaq by himself, purely dominant, would have won a title?
No, he couldn't, because right. at the end of games, He needed someone to be the killer.
Yeah. So when Kobe came in,
the league was also guard heavy then, like necessary to play in Shaq's day.
What?
Guard heavy.
Well, it was big heavy.
Well, it was big heavy, but you had to have that guard.
Well, you can make the argument that that's been the case forever. Like at the end of a game, right? There is something to the effect of, would you rather have at the end of the game someone that needs someone to get him the ball, or would you rather have someone that brings the ball up the court and it's in his hands?
They can do
it themselves. And you know, you, especially in today's game, and even then, right? They lost to the Pistons, and no one could guard Shaq. They just decided to stop throwing him the ball, and there was that conflict between him and Kobe. And you can be as dominant as you want as a big, but if you're Embiid, you know, if no one's getting you the ball in a decent time frame in a decent spot, or they're sending two or three guys at you and you're swinging the ball and no one can knock down shots, as opposed to someone like Giannis that can literally put his head down and get to the rim, he just can't in the playoffs when people sag off of him, he can't beat you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then if he does get to the line, it's a huge liability.
Well, that's my point then is Shaq needed Kobe.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, Shaq won with the Heat too, but Dwayne Wade, he had Wade with him. The fact that the Bucks are trying to build around Giannis, I feel like, is what's going to keep them stuck where they are. They need somebody else to come in, or Giannis needs to play with somebody else who can really be that guy. Obviously, Drew Holiday is not that guy.
No.
Chris Middleton, I suppose you could argue could be that guy, but maybe it's naive of me. I just don't fully trust Middleton yet. He's been playing really well, but it just...
Oh, well, he's not a star.
Well, I know, but putting up games like this, if he keeps doing that, he could be a star if he's scoring 38 in the playoffs.
He's not a star.
Right, but that's kind of where I'm looking at it is, we're all talking about the Bucks need to build around Giannis. I don't know if you can build around Giannis as your only star and win a title.
Well, I don't know if you can build around anyone and just say, this is our one guy. Luka, you know, Luka is the best young player in the NBA, not even close. You can't just say it's going to be Luka and a bunch of average. Damian Lillard is an absolute killer. You can't be, when we've seen what it leads in Portland, there isn't anyone. Even Jordan, for as great as he was, until Pippen really kind of came into his own and was that guy, and that, by the way, is the best 1-2 combo. Magic, as good as Magic was, Magic never won a title without Kareem. Never won one. You always need that other guy. The only team that I can think of, there's two of them, and that was Detroit, and it was Dallas, right? Detroit won it with a collection of good, solid players, mm-hmm. really without even a star. They just won it with a collection of good, solid players, and they won it because the Lakers literally melted down, right? Kobe and Shaq couldn't get along. Malone got hurt, and that team just blew up. If Shaq and Kobe didn't hate each other, dude, they run the Pistons out of the gym. And the other one was Dirk, right? Dirk got it. They got that freaky run, and they got DeAndre Jordan. They started playing defense, and Jason Terry had a great playoff run, and they won it. And that was a one-time thing, right? Never got there before, didn't get there after, but that one kind of fluky year. And by the way, LeBron had the worst playoff series of his entire life ever. It's the only real playoff series you can point to and be like, what were you doing? And all the stars aligned, and they gave Dirk that title. Outside of that, it really doesn't happen. You kind of have to have that other component. And so, yes, when you look at Giannis, as good as he is, a two-time MVP, I don't think there's a lot of people that believe that Milwaukee will ever be a championship team, or if they do, it's going to be in a fluky kind of situation, and they're not going to consistently get back. Because as great as Giannis is, he's not good enough to do it by himself. Very, very few people ever are.
There was a big trade in the NBA today, maybe a bit unexpected, and does seem a little bit like a highway robbery on the surface. We'll get to that next. This is Primetime with Lee.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
So there was a trade today in the NBA. Primetime with Lynch and Sue, by the way. Rob is back on Tuesday. He is in San Diego going to the U.S. Open this weekend. The Celtics and new president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens, have made a trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You know a guy hates you when he salary dumps you like 2 days after taking the job.
Like when you're coach, I thought we were friends.
Yeah, when your head coach immediately gets moved to the front office and his first order of business is to just get you the hell out of town.
Here, go to the team tanking harder than any other team ever.
Yeah, that's got to sting a little bit if you're Kemba. You're like, yeah, that's where that relationship is.
You and a first rounder for an old guy.
Yeah, so Kemba Walker, the 16th pick in this year's draft and a second round pick in a couple of years, 2025, are going from Boston to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, former Blazer Moses Brown, and a second-round pick in 2023. I don't understand this trade at all. I think it's very strange. I thought Al Horford was dead. He wasn't dead. He was just playing in Oklahoma City. I haven't watched him all year. Kemba Walker has had injury issues, and he has not lived up at all to the contract that he signed in Boston.
It's a salary dump. It's like, what, $76 million over the next couple of years?
It's a salary dump, but Al Horford's contract is huge too, and you're taking that on.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a salary dump, I suppose, but you're just taking a big salary back. You're also giving up a first-round pick, two picks total, to dump a salary. I don't really understand this trade.
Stop dealing with Sam Presti. Just stop. Sam Presti's doing like that, the red paper clip, right? Where the guy took the red paperclip and then in 13 trades got a house out of it. It's insane. If you look at his, so in 2021, he has his first, Miami's first, Boston's first, and a Houston pick swap. In 2022, his own, the Clippers' own, or the Clippers' first, Phoenix's first. 2023, his, Miami's, and the Clippers. 2024, his, the Clippers, Houston's. 2025, Houston's. 2026, his, the Clippers, and Houston again.
They have 18 first-round picks over the next seven drafts. I will say that again for those on the back. 18 first-round picks in the next seven drafts.
And this will have Kemba, he'll rehab Kemba Walker.
That's right? Almost three first rounds of draft.
Watch Kemba Walker in the first half of the season next year. Kind of, you know, he'll rehab. He'll be healthy. He'll be scoring like 26 a night on a bad Oklahoma City team. And then someone will need a point guard for a run at the trade deadline. And he'll flip Kemba Walker and he'll get another one. I guarantee it.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Stop dealing with Sam Presti. Just stop. He will take advantage of you.
Now, do you actually believe that the strategy the Thunder are employing will wind up being successful for them? Because we saw Boston do a similar strategy where they compiled a billion picks.
Sure.
And they did get some good guys out of the draft for sure. I'm not sure if the Jason Tatum pick was something they acquired in a trade or if they just were bad that year. I don't remember. So forgive me for that one. It might have been one they acquired.
It's a Nets pick.
Was it a Nets pick? Okay, so it is one they acquired from the terrible Nets trade from many, many moons ago.
Yep.
Do you think Oklahoma City could take advantage of this? Or is the draft, because to me right now, the draft is becoming more and more and more of a crapshoot because guys are leaving college early and the college game isn't very good and the skill set is not matching.
It's still the only way.
It is assets.
It's the only way for small markets to be good, right? And if you look at who's left in the postseason.
I just don't trust.
Well, you don't have to trust it. I mean, I understand that. But if you look at who's left in the postseason, you know, and the Clippers are different because, again, they're in Los Angeles, and Brooklyn is different because they're in Brooklyn, right? Guys want to go to those places. But Atlanta is here, and it's Trae Young, right, who went through the draft. The Jazz, Gobert drafted, Donovan Mitchell drafted. Now, they did go out, and they got kind of their third All-Star, but that was kind of the final piece to the puzzle. Sixers, right, they went through the process. And they got Ben Simmons and they got Embiid through being terrible. Now, the one that is the kick in the balls, if you're the 76ers, and I keep going back to this, and I don't know what, they had Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz. They traded and got Markelle. You put Jason Tatum on this Sixers team, and they've already won an NBA title. They would have won it the year that Kawhi won it in Toronto, and they'd probably be the odds-on favorite. So
didn't they take Okafor, too?
Yeah, they did take
Jahlil Okafor.
They took Jahlil Okafor. So you're going to swing and miss. But if you're one of these smaller market teams, see Portland, right? The only way, or Dallas, who's not even a small market, but the only, you know, you look at the only time Dallas has been relevant, right? Dirk, that came through the draft. Now they've whiffed on the Dennis Smith Juniors of the world, but they got Luka. This is the way you have to build your team in the NBA unless you're in a major market like Miami, New York, or LA where people want to come. So if I'm Oklahoma City, I think Presti has done as good a job as humanly possible because you had a team and it got torn down, right? They just decided they didn't want to be there anymore. And so instead of sitting around in mediocrity with Russell Westbrook, he just said, look, we're going to make a series of moves and we're going to be bad for a little bit of time and we're going to stockpile as much as you can. And he has given his team the best opportunity to be successful over the next, let's say, 5 to 6 years. And I think if you are an NBA fan and let's say you're, I don't know, let's say you're Sacramento or you're Minnesota, or even if you're Portland, I think you can make a case that if you were a fan, would you want Portland's next 5 years or Oklahoma City's next 5 years? Because yes, Portland is better than Oklahoma City.
Yep.
But the idea that Portland's going to make a run during Damian Lillard's time and really do anything significant, that's, you know,
it's dwindling
and it's a bit of a long shot. And then after that, you're kind of in no man's land where do you go from here? Whereas at least if you're an Oklahoma City fan, you can say, yeah, we suck now, but look at what the future may hold. In 4 or 5 years, it takes one, maybe two drafts, and you can completely turn this around just like Oklahoma City did when they were Seattle. And they got, I think it was what, in 3 or 4 years, they got Durant, they got Harden, they got Westbrook, and they got Ibaka. And I thought there was someone else that they
brought in. Steven Adams?
Yeah, it might have been Steven Adams. And they got all those cats. And I know it didn't lead to a title, but it led to a lot of really good basketball, yeah. And it led to an NBA Finals.
That's true. And I guess I say I don't trust the strategy. It's just because we haven't seen this really fully worked too many times, but I do trust Sam Presti because the moves that he has made, even in these rebuilding years, have worked, right?
Yeah.
He has gotten good young players on that team. He's made trades for players who have resurrected their career, which is fair of you to predict that Kemba Walker could resurrect his career because Chris Paul kind of did when he went to OKC. What was that? Last year, right?
Yeah.
Early last year, he got traded to OKC as a salary dump and then he made him good.
Yeah, he made him good.
Yeah. So I would trust Sam Presti. That's the only thing I would think on the flip side of my argument is at least you have a GM who seems to hit more often on trades, hit more often on the draft and actually has a success rate, unlike Neil Olshey.
Yeah. Well, look, no one wants to be bad, but the truth of the matter is in the world of sports, it behooves you to be good or bad. The one that sucks is being stuck in the middle. And unfortunately for Portland, you're stuck in the middle. And by the way, if you're a fan, you may be happy being stuck in the middle. You know, well, you could say, I would rather have 3 more years of Damian Lillard in his prime and give me entertaining basketball than just try to tear the thing down. But if your ultimate goal is to win, what Oklahoma City's doing gives, if you're a betting man, and I had to say 6 years, gun to your head, you got to put a title in Oklahoma City or a title in Portland.
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't, by the way, I don't think either one of them is going to win a title, but I think Oklahoma.
But who has the higher chance?
I think who has the higher chance? OKC. I think it's OKC, because in Portland, you've got about 3 more years of prime Lillard, and it's really hard to make that final. It's really hard with the roster you have to make that final acquisition.
So the one thing I am interested in the U.S. Open is apparently the way that they're showing the broadcast is really, really, really difficult for fans to follow. And it leads to a broader question of where we're going with sports consumption. And we'll get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.